All right, well, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And as you turn there, I hope you had a wonderful Christmas day yesterday, and I'm so glad that we get to gather together here today and continue to celebrate our Savior's birth. These lyrics, listen to these lyrics that we're going to sing in a moment. Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room in heaven and nature sing, in heaven and nature sing, in heaven and nature sing. We've heard this song, Joy to the World, played over the airwaves over this past month, haven't we? You know, maybe while you were out shopping or listening to the radio in your car. It's just amazing how this is what's getting played all over the airwaves. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ while fields and rocks, floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. And so no more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. And he rules the world with truth and grace, and he makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love. And it's like just an amazing thing that the gospel message, the good news, gets to be sung all over, and we get to hear it and be reminded of it. The thing is that oftentimes, maybe sometimes, we miss it, and it's just background noise, and we know the tune, and we know, like, it's joy to the world, but maybe we're missing out on really what it's saying, and the good news that's coming forth in it. And so this morning, in all Advent season, always, you know, the encouragement is for us to slow down and really to take notice, and to hear, and to see what it is that God is doing and how he's speaking to us. And so this morning, I hope that this morning you're encouraged as we're going to just be looking at this wonderful passage before us. And we're going to talk about grace and just take some time. And like, what is this all about? We sang about it this morning. This is why Jesus has come. This is what God has expressed and demonstrated towards us. Even while we were yet sinners, he showed us his great love for us and his grace. And it's only by grace that we can have a relationship with him. And so what is grace? Grace, you know, we hear that word a lot. Grace is my daughter's middle name. Others have the name Grace. We talk about saying a short prayer before a meal as someone saying grace. All these kinds of things. But as we talk about it this morning, grace is a gift. The Greek word is charis, and it's used throughout the New Testament. It means a gift or a blessing brought to man by Jesus Christ. It has to do with favor. It has to do with kindness. Maybe you've heard the definition used before to explain grace as the unmerited favor of God towards man. But what is it that makes grace such a gift? Why is grace such an amazing gift? It's because it changes everything. It's grace that awakens our heart. It's grace that gives life. It's grace that takes that which is hard, sin-stained hearts, and it leads us to repentance. It's grace that opens the door for us to be forgiven of our sins and be restored to relationship with God. And so at the core of what the Christian faith is about, it is about grace. You look at all other religions and approaches to faith, and the thing that makes the Christian faith unique is that it is about grace. If someone were to ask you whether or not you would go to heaven whenever you die, what would your answer be? Would your answer be yes? Would your answer be I hope so? Or maybe, or I really don't think so? And then if then asked why you said that, then what would you say? What would you say the reason would be for why you would answer the question the way that you did? Would you answer, well, I've tried to be a good person. I've tried to do the right things. I've tried to, maybe I go to church. I read my Bible. My parents were good people. My parents were members of whatever church. I try to do the best by my kids. I try to be honest. I do nice things. I help my neighbor. Maybe I was baptized. And if we go down that line, then there would be questions as to, well, how good is good enough? How do you know that you've done enough? And all this kind of stuff. It would be all about you then, wouldn't it? And that you have in some way earned or deserving of it, but no matter how you work it, the Bible tells us, and we know that Scripture has it right whenever it says in Romans 3:23 that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all know that we're sinners. There's no secret about it. And the question remains, though, is how is that sin issue dealt with? How's that sin problem dealt with? If it was about doing the right things, then the question still remains is how much good doing on our part would be enough to make up for our sin. In fact, what makes us think that we could ever do enough good to make up for our sin that has broken our relationship with a holy God, the holy God of the universe? We can do all these things, but the fact remains that one's relationship with God is still broken because of our sin, and probably more than likely we can't even fathom the magnitude of our sin and how much greater it is than we know. And that's when Paul, he comes in and he writes about this in Ephesians 2, and he reminds the church in Ephesus, and he reminds us this morning of this, that while we were disobedient and dead in our sins and disobedient to God, deserving of God's wrath, what does it say? But God. But God, he does a miracle, and he's done a miracle because he loves you and he's saved you. How? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. It is by a gift of grace. That's it. That's how it is that we can have a relationship with a holy God, and that's what's so sweet. That's what's so amazing about God's grace. And that's what Christmas is all about. And Christmas happens only because of God's grace. And without his grace, we wouldn't be celebrating the birth of Jesus. It's a big deal, but it doesn't change our status with God. It changes everything about how we face life also. And if we're not careful, we can miss the magnitude of the power of God's grace in a broken world. And so this morning, this is what I know about every single one of us. Either we are in the midst of suffering, or we're in the midst of some season of life where our hearts are hurting, breaking, dealing with some kind of loss or grief. Maybe we're stressing out over the circumstances that we are facing, or we're going to face that type of season or time in our lives. We are there. That's every single one of us. And maybe this morning you hear those lyrics that we just read of Joy to the World, and we sang about joy has dawned. We sang all these songs, and we hear about it in this season, especially about joy. And right now, if you're honest, that is not where you find yourself. But it's because of God's grace that we can know joy in all things. It's because of the gift of grace that there is an encouragement to be found for the one who is suffering. There is encouragement for the one to be had for the person who prepares for the day whenever those trials come. And so this morning, that's where I want our attention to focus this morning as we look at this passage that is before us. Because at this time of the year, it can be the most wonderful time of the year, but sometimes it's not the most wonderful time of the year. And it is a really hard time of the year. And so let's look here in 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's just bow our heads and let's pray as we come to it now. Our Father in heaven, I ask that you would just open our hearts and our eyes to see, our ears to hear, Lord, what it is that you would have to say to us now through your word. As we read it, Lord, you know our hearts and you have the ability to speak to us like no one else. And so, Lord, we ask that you would have your way with us now. Lord, help us to listen. Lord, we need your encouragement. In your name we pray. Amen. Just a little bit of context before we read this passage is that Peter's writing this letter to Christians, both Jews and Gentiles, who have placed their faith in Jesus, and he's writing them for the purpose of encouraging them to grow in their trust in him and their obedience to him in the midst of some of the hardest things in their life, especially as they suffer and face hardship. In the first two verses there, Peter, he introduces, if you have your Bibles open before you, he says this, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. He's introducing himself to them. He's identifying himself as a messenger of Jesus Christ, the one whose birth we celebrate, and he describes those to whom he's writing as elect exiles. He's saying to them, guys, this isn't your home. This isn't home, but this is where you're at right now. You're aliens here, and this is just temporary. But not only does he remind them that they're exiles, but that their God cares for them. He loves them, that he is sanctifying them through the Holy Spirit for the purpose of becoming more like Jesus, the one who has paid the price for all of their sins. And at the end of his introduction, he says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. He's saying, may God's freely given undeserved favor towards them be multiplied. And so that's the context of what of Paul's writing to them. And he tells them that because of the gift of grace, we can have joy in all things as we read this. So let's read verses 6 through 9. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You hear what Peter is saying here? He's saying, in this you rejoice. He says, it is because God is preserving you through the trials that you're facing. He says, rejoice. How is it that he can tell them to rejoice in the midst of some of the hard things and the various things that are going on in their lives? He says this. He says in verse 6, he says, this is for a little while. Peter's reminding them, in the big scheme of things, this is only for a little while. It's the same thing that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth whenever he said this in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. He says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. He wants them to know that while they may be facing some kind of hardships right now, they need to know and remember that these things aren't going to last forever. James writes about this, about how our lights, our lives are but a vapor. A lot of times our lives don't feel like they're but a vapor. Sometimes it feels like things are moving at such a slow pace. Like maybe some of you kids, you were just looking so forward to Christmas, and it's because you knew you were going to get something. And this whole thing of gift giving where my kids, they seem to all know what they were getting before it was even Christmas. How fun is that? But it's like you know what you're going to get and you know it's coming, but the days are moving so slow. And of course, as you get older, it seems like everything's just flying by. Life is flying by, and I hear that it's not going to change, but with eternity in view, how short are our lives? They are just but a vapor. But not only does he say that these are for a little while, but be encouraged because there's a purpose here for these trials, right? He says it's to test the genuineness of our faith, verse 7. It's because of the gift of grace that we can have joy in the midst of trials, not only because they're only going to last for a little while, but also because they are an opportunity for us to grow in our faith. Remember what James writes in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. You might have this one memorized as one of your favorite ones that just carry you through some of those hard things in life. Count it all joy, my brothers, he writes, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. A few verses down from that in verse 12, James 1:12 says this, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." Not that you need to be weird and you go looking for hard things to happen in your life and try to make them happen. We don't do that because hard times do come. You don't have to make them happen. But when we go through hardship in our lives and various trials, we can know that there's purpose. And our faith, as it is being tested, as it goes through the fire, it's being strengthened and purified. And so we can rejoice because there's purpose. It's for a little while, and for that little while, and God has a purpose for it to help us and give us the opportunity to grow in our trust in him and our faith. But not only that, we can rejoice because these trials are showing the beauty of our faith. Look what the result is, verse 7. "So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." It's beautiful. As by God's grace, he's the one who is preserving us. He is the one who is sustaining us. And it is then that we are able to rejoice, because look at what the rewards are. The rewards, the result is the praise and glory and the honor that is given to Jesus. And isn't that what we're aiming for? Isn't that what we're called to? We're called to live for the glory of God and for his praise and for his fame and for his name. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, if you just turn a chapter later in these verses that we love and we know so well, "But you are a chosen race, that you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim his excellencies, the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Peter is saying here that as you persevere to the end, there's a reward. As he comes back to this at the end of this letter in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, if you go to the end, he says this, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." And as we come to verses 8 and 9 here in chapter 1, we find one more encouragement as we go through the fire. He says, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not now see him, you believe in him, and you rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." How is it that we can rejoice? We can rejoice with an inexpressible joy. This is such an amazing joy, unspeakable joy. He's saying this joy is so great, you can't even like get it all out. Words can't contain it, because we have this kind of relationship. It's a loving and a personal relationship that we get to have with the God who has saved us, who is sustaining us and preserving us by his grace. There's no words for the joy that we can have deep in our souls, even whenever we're going through the hardest of circumstances in our lives. Because we get to experience the marvelous grace of Jesus and the kind of relationship with our Savior that we could never know except for his grace. That's what Paul's writing about in Philippians chapter 4. When we talk about joy and rejoicing, isn't this one of those passages that comes to mind in Philippians 4? And there's Paul as he's writing this to the believers in Philippi, and he's in prison, not ideal circumstances at all. And he's encouraging these believers to rejoice, and he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone, because the Lord is at hand." The Lord is near. Because he is with us. And that's what we get to experience here as a gift of God's grace. And so don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything, no matter what the situation. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." He says, take it to the Lord. He's saying, lean on him. And what's the promise? "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And so as we've journeyed through this, Peter is saying to these believers, this gift of grace is amazing. But it's amazing not only because by it are we saved, but this gift of grace that we get to experience from God is amazing because by it we can have hope and we can have joy that is so deep in our souls that words cannot contain it. And we can know that even in the midst of the trials, we can know that God is at work, that he's testing, that he's building our faith. There's a purpose here. We can know that our trials, if necessary for us to go through them, that they are only for a little while. God's building our faith. And he gives evidence of this through his involvement in our lives. He gives evidence that we can trust him in every area of our lives. And so I want you to know that you can experience that gift and be encouraged as you know the gift of his grace. And know that because of his grace, that he loves you and that he cares for you. Just as a father does, who is working in the midst of the hardest of times and hard circumstances in our lives through the trials that we go through, in the midst of the grief and the loss, and it's by his grace that we can carry on. You may wonder, in the midst of this, I don't know how I'm going to keep going. I don't know how I can keep my head up. I don't know how I can keep doing this or that or anything like this. It's because of his grace, his sustaining grace, that we can do it. And so be encouraged as you face trials and rejoice in the Lord as he preserves you and carries you on. This morning, I want to share just a testimony from many of you know Karen Mullen. It's Martha Himes' daughter. She grew up here for a lot of years, and we've been praying for her as she's been dealing with a brain tumor. And it's just been becoming more aggressive, it sounds like, in the treatment that they're able to address it with, and just some more effects that are coming along. And Martha shared this video testimony that they shared at Karen's church out in the Seattle, Washington area. I think it was about 2 weeks ago that they shared it. And so as I watched it, you know, I was so encouraged by it. And I wanted to share it with you this morning and pray that you're encouraged by it as you listen. Might be hard to hear, and hopefully you can read some of the subtitles there, just that will help you with that.
What an opportunity.
God's plan is perfect.
I know.
It's a totally will blow you away. Mm-hmm. If you just slow down and see what he is doing and let him come into your life.
Yeah.
It's very easy to talk about God is with us.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's true.
It is.
Trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I've really clung to the idea of Peter is getting out of the boat and he comes to Jesus walking on the water.
Mm-hmm.
And he asks Jesus if he may come, if it's so, they call me. And he did. And so he followed that call. He was coming to Jesus. And then he saw all the things around him, and he took his eyes off Jesus, and he began to sink. But immediately, he's like, help!
Mm-hmm.
And God was right there,
yeah.
And he gave me a hand to pull him out.
Mm-hmm.
When he needed it.
Yeah.
Something that I have learned with this experience, it has made me, I didn't really have the choice to slow down. And that's the thing, like, with the picture of the dewdrops or the raindrops, it really has caused me to slow down and look and see what's around me. How is God working? And what you can be thankful for and give Him glory and praise for those things. And I think especially in this time, this Christmas time, that we are extremely busy. And to slow ourselves down is really special. And He's there waiting to give you that gift of like seeing what's already there.
I mean, you have said over and over during our conversation, slow down, slow down. You know, and as we're talking about God being with us, and your message is, if you want to know that God is with you, just slow down. I think that we are probably missing lots of opportunities every day to hear from Him, to see that He's with us, to share the gospel with other people, to interact with other people, because we don't often enough slow down. And so that your takeaway is convicting and encouraging.
Yeah, I really like that. That's really good.
Plus, what you said.
It
is really good.
Of course it's really good. When I started losing my balance, God encouraged me. Because He brought to my mind that Jesus, when He was walking up to the cross, He couldn't carry the cross. He stumbled, and somebody took it up for Him. I do not know how long this trial will be. I appreciate prayers. I have clung to the word steadfast. And there's a lot of verses on being steadfast. And prayer, because the Holy Spirit has everything I need.
I love that. It's about God getting the glory. It's about keeping our eyes on Jesus. It's about remembering God's grace and how He's worked in mighty ways in the past and how He's going to keep on doing it and He's going to do it in the future. And an encouragement to just be about the calling that God has placed on our lives in the midst of whatever the circumstances. And you know, what a joy to see, you know, here's Karen and we know her and we loved her and cared for her through many years and still do. We pray for her and to hear her giving a testimony towards, like, in the midst of it all, it's all about keeping my eyes on Jesus and Him being glorified through it all. And so be encouraged. This suffering that we experience in this lifetime is only for a little while. In comparison to eternity, it is nothing. Be encouraged. Know that there's purpose. The genuineness of your faith is being tested. It's being shown. It's an opportunity to grow in your faith. When the hard times come, it shows what's real. Be encouraged as you journey through the trials. The beauty of your faith is bringing honor to the name of Jesus. That's what we just saw. And be encouraged, you're going to know Jesus like you never could have otherwise as you go through it. Look at how this section ends. Peter reminds them this has all been a part of God's gracious plan. None of it is a big surprise to Him. It's what they were experiencing regarding their salvation was something that the prophets of old had told them about before. verses 10 through 12, just finish like this. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you, and the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. So amazing of a thing, this grace that we get to experience, that saves us, that sustains us, is that which even angels long to look into. And so let's rejoice in all circumstances in response to his amazing grace. It changes everything. Fellow believers, my prayer is that you're encouraged as we consider God's grace to us. And to those who have not yet taken that step of placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that I believe it is only because of God's grace that you are here and that you are hearing of his grace. That God so loved the world, that he so loves you, that he sent his son Jesus, his only son, to come, and all because of grace, journey from the cradle to the cross, so that whoever would place their faith and trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior might be saved and experience everlasting life. And if that's you, I invite you to come. The invitation is there. He is calling you to come and to place your faith and your trust in him today. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Just in the quiet of this moment, just a reminder what Karen says, what we've been talking about, just to slow down. Maybe for a few moments now, let's just sit in the silence and ask the Lord to speak to us as we slow down and pause. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your grace. We say that a lot. This morning we are freshly reminded that no matter what the circumstances are, Lord, that it is you who not only saves us, but you sustain us, that you have purpose in it all. Maybe right now, as we consider even that thought, maybe there's someone here who's just really wondering, like, God, I don't understand why this or that happened in my life, and it's really been hard to understand. Lord, help me to trust you. Help me to trust and allow that to be in your hands and to know that you're working, that you've worked through the good through it. You've taken something that's really really bad, not the way that we hoped it would go or thought it should have gone, but God, I'm trusting you, and I know that you can take it and you can work it for your glory and for my good. Lord, we thank you for how you do that. and how through it all, Lord, that you make something beautiful out of the ashes of our lives. And so, God, this morning we ask that you do that. Maybe there's someone here now that is in that place, and we're just asking you to sustain us by your grace. Lord, we thank you for Karen's testimony of a young lady who's experienced your grace and has continued to persevere and to trust you in the midst of it all, so that you would be glorified. And may that be said of all of us, Lord. And we would keep our eyes fixed on you, for you're the one who's steadfast, never changing. And because of all that, Lord, we can know joy unspeakable in our lives, and so we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.